First Corinthians chapter 15. I hope by this message to cause you to be thankful for God and His amazing free grace, and also to cause you to have a heart for those who talk about grace, talk about God, don't know either one of them. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. The great apostle to the Gentile writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and the gospel wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's so important. Every preacher everywhere talking about Jesus died for sin, died for sinners, and so forth. That's true, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is how He died for our sins according to this book. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the types and figures and shadows, all of those things bear witness of Christ, how He would come and die for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to those types. The Bible says these, the whole Old Testament form of worship were just a shadow of good things to come, all those good things being wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures, that He was seen of Cephas, the Apostle Peter, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. Some died in the Lord. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, He was seen of me. Oh, man, seen of me. As of one born out of due season, I saw Him last. I am the least of the apostles, very least. I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, and it never is. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet it wasn't me, but the grace of God that was working in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed in the gospel of the grace of our great God, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, all religions which wear the name of Christian use the same Bible, may have different translations, but they use the same Bible, basically. And they use the same names and the same words that we use. They talk about God, Christ, righteousness, sin, salvation, grace, same words. They're pronounced just the same by whoever says them. But we must know what they mean. If I go around talking about God, and then when I begin to describe Him, He doesn't fit the description of this book. I have a God of my own imagination. It's just an image. A lie. A deadly lie. There is a deadly problem among religionists. These names and words each have a biblical definition, a biblical meaning. When you say, God, fill it up for me, please. What do you mean by God? Who is your God? Deadly problem. We must know the meaning of these words. What do you mean when you say God? Define your God. What do you mean when you say grace? What do you mean by grace? What is it to you? What does it mean to you? Our business should be to find out what it means according to this book. According to the Scriptures. That's it. It doesn't matter what somebody may have told me or what I may have learned in school. It's what the Scriptures say. What do the Scriptures teach about the grace of God? For most men today, they think it's just some kind of an offer. But men today, and I say this to our own condemnation, our own judgment, that what we do today, many professors, most professors, they don't question what they hear. They don't question what they hear. They don't inquire into these names and words to find out what they mean. This is an age of presumption and indifference and carelessness. Just taking these things as we receive them without checking it out. Paul talked about the Bereans being a very noble people, for when he preached there, the great apostle to the Gentiles, when he preached there, they went home and searched the Scriptures daily to find out if he was telling the truth. Boy, you ought to search the Scripture to find out if this old man tell the truth. And anybody you hear, search the Scriptures. Christ told the Pharisees, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. You boast in the Scriptures, rejoice in the works of Moses, and you don't know what he's talking about. You don't believe the Scriptures because Moses wrote of me and you won't have me. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Nothing in this world is so important. And yet about nothing in this world are men more presumptuous, careless, and indifferent. May God help us. What we have in our minds is either knowledge or it's imagination. It's either true or it's not. There is no halfway. What we have in our minds is either fact or fiction. Fact or fiction. One or the other. And I'm meaning by that what I think about God. What I think about God is either fact or fiction. What I think about God is either knowledge according to this book or something I picked up along the way. Carry around in my head. It's either life or death. Heaven or hell. What I have in my mind. My heart. One or the other. Look at Titus just a moment, chapter 2. And to conserve time, I'll just read one verse. You can fill in the context and check it out when you get home. See what he's talking about. But look at this one verse. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth. It doesn't say offers you salvation. It says bringeth salvation. Hath appeared to all men. But it teaching us. Teaching us. Denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to hang on to that one term, the grace of God, that bringeth salvation. Look at that one word. The grace of God and the salvation of sinners, spiritually dead, men and women, it bringeth life. It bringeth salvation. It brings repentance. It brings faith. It brings Christ. It brings salvation. The grace of God bringeth salvation. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I labored more abundantly than all the apostles. I who am not fit to be an apostle, but it wasn't really me, it was grace. The grace of God. Now the world's definition of grace is found in the dictionary. This is also the contemporary thought of much of modern religion. Most of modern religion. And that is this. To quote, divine mercy and forgiveness. Divine mercy or forgiveness. And then the meaning is, divine assistance given men for the regeneration and sanctification. Divine assistance given unto men for their regeneration and sanctification. That's ridiculous. How can you assist someone in your own birth? I didn't have anything to do with my first birth, did you? I didn't have anything to do with my second birth. We're born. John 1:13. We're born of God, born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, born of God. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. With the word of truth. If you're born of God, you know some truth. You know some truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this word of truth. If you have saving faith, you know some truth. If God gave it to you, you know some truth. Because it's built on the truth. Faith and saving faith come by hearing the word of truth. Now, to think about this definition, divine assistance given men for his regeneration, sanctification. In other words, what they're saying is it's all left up to the free will of man. Divine assistance. God will assist you, but it's left up to you. It's left up to those who are wise, left up to the willing, and left up to the cooperative. You cooperate with God. His grace will help you out. But the Bible says, the grace of God bringeth salvation. Bring us salvation. Those who, by their own will and ability, tap into the grace of God, that's what most folks believe. It's an offer sent down here from the Lord. Those who take advantage of God's universal grace, that's what most folks believe. Well, I claim the promise. I made my decision. Yeah, and you're still trusting in you too. The grace of God in salvation. Listen to these words carefully. Listen to this old man now. I'm telling you the truth. The grace of God in salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. It is operative, powerful, and effectual. Operative, powerful, effectual. It bringeth salvation. It bringeth life to the dead. Resurrects them from their spiritual grave. You know, we sing that song, even the Armenians, free willers sing it, but they don't know what it means. They don't believe what they're singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Saved me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. Grace. Grace did it. God's sovereign, free, effectual grace bringeth salvation. It's not just an offer. If that's all it was, it would be hanging out there and we'd be here dead in trespasses and sins and perish the same way. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace of God made me to be what I am today, Paul said. He said it turned me from an enemy of God into a friend. Grace did that. The grace of God brought me from being an enemy to God to being a friend of God and a willing bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm sold out to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. Grace did that. He said, I can see the Spirit beareth witness that a lot of things, everywhere I go, of persecution, distress, beatings, mockings, all these things. But he said, these things don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. None of these things move me. He sold out. He determined. He dedicated. He devoted. He gave himself to serve the Lord. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and testify that gospel of the grace of God. Grace of God. And that's the only gospel there is. And the grace in that gospel is not an offer. It bringeth salvation. It bringeth salvation. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet it wasn't me, it was grace. God's grace. Powerful, operative, effectual grace. Philippians 1:6, He which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it. Keep on working until the day of Jesus Christ. Bringeth salvation, worketh. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isaiah the prophet said, we're in good shape, Lord, for Thou hast wrought all of our works in us. We'll never fall, for Thou hast wrought all of our works in us. It wasn't from us, it was from the grace of God, the Spirit of God. In His sovereign free grace. Psalm 110 verse 3. He makes His people willing in the day of His power. Sovereign free effectual operative grace. It's not a dead thing. It's not an offer. It bringeth salvation. Well, number one, there is an eternal election taught in this book. And what is it? An election of grace. God wasn't looking for a good one here and a good one there and a wise one here and a wise one there. It's all of pure grace. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise do I ever call. Not many noble. An election of grace. You find that in Romans chapter 11 and verse 5. An election of grace. Paul, Acts 9:15, was a chosen vessel unto God. Election of grace. Pure, free, sovereign, effectual grace. Acts 26:16-18 bears witness to the same. Ephesians chapter 1 bears witness to the same. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and election of grace, and given us all these spiritual blessings that we'll ever receive in this life and throughout eternity. He gave them to us in Christ before we ever made this world. We are chosen and loved and predestinated in Christ, predestinated unto eternal glory, predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's own Son. And then in our preservation and our conversion, we're chosen vessels. But this chosen vessel must be born into the world. We're chosen before the world was. Must be born into the world. Must hear the gospel. Must believe it. And all that comes to pass in the sovereign, free, effectual, operative grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, Galatians 1:15-16, God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace when it pleased Him to reveal His Son in me. You know, when I was born into this world, when it pleased God. You know, when I was born the next time, when it pleased God. You know, when the Christ was revealed to me, as David said, when it pleased God. Salvation by revelation. That's not something I do. It's something God does for me. Reveals Himself in Christ. Reveals His glory in the face of that lowly Nazarene. Paul said it like this. Said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Mary's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a work of God. A work of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace. 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 It's by grace that faith comes. By grace that we continue. Divine demonstration and testimony of all who hear. Turn back just a moment in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a testimony of true believers. They testify that they obtained mercy. You don't find in the Scriptures where it says, I made a decision, I did this, I claimed the promise, and all that kind of stuff. In the Scriptures, they say, I was a child of hell, child of wrath, and I obtained mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. There's a but there again. But I obtained mercy. God had mercy on me. Found grace like old Noah. I obtained mercy. This goes along with what we have in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold. Behold. Be astonished. Behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Bestowed upon us. Not offered us. Bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Because He made us His sons. Grace brought salvation to us. We obtain mercy. Divine mercy. Mercy of the Lord. They shall be glorified. That's grace. When our hearts are opened to the gospel, that's grace. God opened Lydia's heart and she received the word. That's grace. And we're kept by the power of God through faith. That's grace. That's grace. And then there's this free, sovereign, effectual grace is the greatest comfort to the saints of God. I wouldn't have any comfort if I trusted in my faith. Like the little thing says on this morning, a man is just as much saved and has weak faith as the one has strong faith. But if you trust in your faith, you're always going to be in trouble, whether it's weak or strong, because it's always changing. One day you think you have strong faith, perhaps, and another day you wonder if you ever believed at all. Our confidence is in our God. Our God. David said in 2 Samuel 23, I think it's verse 5. He said, God told me what I ought to be and what I should be and how I should conduct myself in my house. And boy, it has not been that way. But I'm still saved. Because God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my desire, my hope, my salvation. Trusting in Him. Have no confidence in me. Paul said, we're the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in this place at all. In me that is in this place dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. And this grace, free, sovereign, effectual grace, is the greatest encouragement to sinners. You won't be saved based upon what you do, what you are. You'll be saved by the grace of God. And this word is amazing. Freely. Being justified freely. By His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely. You know what that word means? It's translated in another place in the Gospel of John. That they hated Christ without a cause. And no reason in Him they should have hated Him. The reason was in them. Dead dog sinners. And that's the same word as freely. Without a cause. Why did God ever save me? No cause in me. None whatsoever. Why did God ever save any of you? And no cause in you. None whatsoever. We're saved by the grace of God. That grace which bringeth salvation. That salvation is bestowed upon us. We obtain mercy. We obtain mercy. That's how the Bible reads. How the Bible reads. This should be such an encouragement to sinners. Sovereign, free grace. You know, if you were to go to a prison where had 100 people on death row. They've been tried, convicted, and sentenced. They're just waiting the day of execution. And the governor sends out a message. I'm going to have mercy on somebody. I'm going to have mercy on somebody. If I was one of those 100, I sure hope that wouldn't make me mad. But what I'd want to do, if I was wise, I'd run out up in the front of the line and say, oh, God, have mercy on me. I'm guilty. Death's hanging over my head. Have mercy, oh, God. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And if the governor pardoned 10 and left the rest in their guilt, He has harmed nobody. If God's pleased to save one here this morning or one here in 10 years and let the rest go on to perish, He's harmed nobody. Spurgeon said God could, that tabernacle where they preached to 8,000 people every time He was stood up there to preach. He said, God could stop here this morning and save everybody in this place. Or He could just pass us by, leaving us in our sins to perish. And God is still holy and just and good. He hasn't hurt anybody. All He owes us is hell. That's all we deserve is hell. The wages of sin is hell, death. Salvation is free to the no good, to the undeserving, to the hell deserving, to the lost sinner. It's free. You thirsty? You want it? Take the water of life freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Without money and without price. All who hear and believe it are saved. Free. Well, I'm waiting to feel something. No, it's free. Now, based upon your feelings, based upon His mercy, His promise, His work. The old songwriter said, all the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him. To feel your need of Him. And if you feel your need of Him, that's grace too. That's grace that bringeth salvation. God has brought us forth from the womb, each one of us, when it pleased Him. Given us health, the measure of health that we have. It's all in the hands of God. Given us a sound mind. Sent us the gospel of His free grace. And the big question right now as I close out this service is, do you need it? This sinner does. I need it. I believe it. I trust Him. And He said, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, shalt be saved. Substitution. Full provision is made for us by the Lord Jesus, our substitute. He satisfied God for us. And we're saved in Him. He that hath the Son, he hath life. Full, free forgiveness. Justification forever. Is freely given unto sinners. In Christ. Through faith in His name. If you believe already, God help you to believe more. Lord, increase our faith. If you haven't yet believed and trusted and cast yourself upon Christ, today, good day. Good day. Okay, David.